Hello, you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next-generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee, at Lady Lee on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast. Sitting here with two Bens, Ben and Ben, Ben Lesh and Ben Halpern. Ben Halpern, you are with The Practical Dev, and it's a really, really funny Twitter handle. And that's how I found you on the internet. And Ben Lesh is, you know, this guy who is a dad and has a lot of puns.
Yes, I do. I do things.
Sometimes you code.
Sometimes I code when I'm not busy tweeting puns at people.
Yeah, you can visit the YOLO Brolo site and see how smart Ben is. Because a lot of times I make Ben pair on things that he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I get to pair with Tracy on things that I've never used before. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, though, I have to tell you, because, you know, I can tell you're angry sometimes. You're, like, so frustrated. You're like, God damn it, why is Tracy making you do this shit? She's going to post it.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then it happens.
So I get to look slow on the internet.
Yeah.
That's always good.
And Ben.
Yes?
What are you going to do about this? Should we call you, like, oh, no, this is a problem.
Ben and Practical Ben?
Ben and, wait, which one's Practical?
Not me.
Are you the impractical?
I am impractical, Ben.
Anyways, Ben, can we follow you on Snapchat? Is that a thing?
Yes, you can. It's The Practical Dev. It exists. I've used it to cover a conference I went to, and it's got a small following, but in the future it might be bigger.
So cool. Wait, can you tell us about what the Practical Developer is for those people that are listening that might not know?
Yeah, so the Practical Dev is a Twitter account I started on August 14th, 2014. I know the date because that was a few days ago was the second birthday of the Twitter account. And it is a programming related Twitter account I started in order to not really bore my regular Twitter followers with only programming stuff, because I'd found myself tweeting a lot about programming and I felt like I had other friends who wouldn't care about that. So I started this secondary account, and at some point I realized it was a tremendous opportunity to let my hair down online and just say what I wanted to about programming, a lot of which is jokes. And it's a project I've really put a lot into. It's not the only thing I do. I have another job programming, but it's my second little job where I really put a lot of my own personality into it.
So how many followers do you have now on Twitter in this Practical Developer account?
There are 66,751 followers right now on the account. It's really gotten pretty big over the past several months. And it's pretty unreal. There's a lot of people out there paying attention to my thoughts on random programming subjects.
Yeah. So what's the big thing that, like, I've seen you guys post a lot, or you specifically? Is there anybody else helping you with this account, or is it just you?
Yeah. So the practical dev was started by me, and I'm the only one doing anything related to Twitter. I have a co-founder on the organization, the company that is the Practical Dev in its nascence. Her name is Jessie, and she is awesome. And we're together building on some of the Practical Dev things we're doing, and it's a lot of fun. And we're growing it to be like a little more. We've got a platform called Dev2. Dev.to is the domain. But yeah, the Twitter account is just me being a goof on Twitter, and that's about it. In the future, it might be more than that, but that's all it is right now.
So a lot of your more popular tweets that I've seen, at least the first ones I ever noticed, were ones that are O'Reilly parody covers, right? Like, so you get these O'Reilly books and they've got like a black and white drawing of some random animal and then some solid bar of color with some white text in it for like Perl or, you know,
yep,
whatever reference type book that they've got or programming books. Can you tell me a little bit about those and what's going on? I think that you had told me that you had a talk with the folks at O'Reilly.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for a while. I made the first one of those in March, and since then I've made a lot more. I it sort of amazes me that people still think it's funny, and it amazes me that I'm still able to come up with more of these. Like, I sometimes I'll end the day like having no feeling that I'd ever be able to come up with anything original ever again, because I'm so like, I feel like I've exhausted all of my ideas, and then another thing just comes, and that's just how it's gone. And the platform is really hilarious to me. It's such an iconic book cover. I have like tremendous respect for the brand. I probably read 15 of those books maybe, and it's totally what I'm known for primarily, but you know, lots of other stuff. Once people follow the account, they find out it's a little more varied than just that one classic thing I do, but it's that's certainly the biggest fan favorite. And and yeah, so I've had several interactions with O'Reilly, the company. The creator of that iconic book cover, the artist, Eddie Friedman, she emailed me pretty early on after I'd made a couple, and she told me she really liked them. I went and covered an O'Reilly conference under the Practical Dev, like as a journalist, and while I was there, I got to talk to a lot of O'Reilly people, and you know, they'd heard of it, they'd seen it. It sort of spread like wildfire. I'm not the first person to make that joke. In fact, I'd seen that joke a few times and I really loved it, and I really wanted to come up with some of my own, and I eventually ran with it. But I'm also speaking at an upcoming O'Reilly conference, and it's all sort of related to that. But then just recently, Tim O'Reilly, the CEO of O'Reilly Media, sort of was critical of the idea that I'm using their trade dress, as he put it. And as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty strict parody, and we sort of all agreed on that, and I wound up talking to them on the phone a little bit, and they sort of want me to just be, you know, they want to make sure I'm treating the brand well, and we're all in the same corner, and we all, it's all in good fun. And so that's been pretty surreal. Like, you know, like this joke sort of bubbled up to the point where I'm like on phone calls with famous CEOs and stuff. So it's pretty wacky. And I do other stuff too. Like, I spend less time on this than I do on my regular programming job. But this is the one that that gets the most attention by far.
Really? Because I think I spend more of my time trying to come up with funny tweets than I do working. So you're saying yours is the opposite? Maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's why people don't think I'm very funny on Twitter.
I think you're funny. I think you're very funny. Yeah. That's basically my entire life. I mean, this is what I love about the JavaScript community, right? Or maybe just that. I think mostly the JavaScript community is that, like, you know, I can be ridiculous. I feel like my Twitter handle has just become sort of a train wreck these days. The Tracy train wreck. Oh my God. I really did. Train wreck.
Yes, you did. So she tries to goad her friends into tweeting puns.
Which, oh my God. How do I do that?
Which of course snipes me into doing it. I can't help myself.
So not true. I feel like it's the other way around, but I think it takes two to tango. Oh wait, hold on. Is there a pun there? Two to tango.
No. No, there's no pun there, but no. You're kind of dancing around the idea.
Oh no, you did! You did. You said it. It's amazing. It's really terrible. It's really terrible.
It is. It's.
But I think Ben, Practical Ben, you sort of share the same sentiment, right? It's like, it's so cool that we can be in our like, I guess, professions, and be able to be as ridiculous as possible, and like, it's still fine.
Oh yeah. That's where I'm coming from. You know, by day I really try to write good code and do really seemingly important work, and also by day, like, I try to tweet about whatever goes wrong or whatever's ridiculous or whatever seems hilarious.
What kind of responses do you get on that Twitter account? Do you ever get like hate PMs or like other weirdness messaged at you because of your
99% of the response is positive. The most hateful anything I ever receive is always in response to any sort of social criticism I try to make. If I ever bring up the notion that sexism is a thing in the tech industry, there's always a buttload of trolling and stupid responses. And that's always sad, but the general response to the basic humor is always awesome. I get lots of DMs about random stuff. It's open DMing, and I really encourage people to write in and to talk to me, and I talk to people as much as I can. I get lots of questions about specific advice, either career advice or language advice. This one person messaged me asking for specific advice about Java, and I told him I hadn't written Java in several years and I really wouldn't be of much help, and he just keeps asking me questions about Java. About like his Java homework. He's like in school studying Java.
I think you should just like tweet about his Java homework.
Yeah, I think that that's a good parody account by itself, Java student.
Yeah, it's and I think I've been helpful. Like, I keep telling him no and then he keeps asking, so I like try to answer the question with my basic remembering of like classical Java inheritance, but it's always like, you know, very like, I don't really remember all the syntax rules and stuff, and but I don't know, I can't help but try to be helpful in those situations for some reason.
That's interesting. So he always comes to you. That's like maybe it makes me think there's some sort of weird science fiction component there. Like, why would he always come to you? It's like you're his only window to like anyone that knows anything about development.
and I don't know, I'm sure he goes to other people too, and it hasn't happened lately, so maybe he's moved on, but I always just tell him to ask Stack Overflow or something. But he wants the help and stuff, and that's
I'm gonna have some JavaScript homework. I'm gonna be like, Ben, what's this?
Like, that's a good O'Reilly book cover, right? Practical ask Ben, ask people named Ben how to program. It's probably too isolated. I don't think a lot of people get that joke.
I have pretty massive panic attacks about, you know, code, usually. I'm getting better. Getting better.
Panic attacks for experts about code.
The podcast, it's like, she's about to have a heart attack. Save her. Save her.
So, all right. No? So you've alluded to having a day job a few times, right? So what is your day job? Do you fight crime?
That's through the Practical Dev. All my crime fighting goes on through the channel most people know me from. I'm the co-founder and CTO of a little startup in New York City. We're currently known as Argo. We'd been operating under a sort of different operation for a little while, and we've recently pivoted out of sort of general sort of startup needs. And we are currently building a messaging app for companies to really like ramp up their messaging abilities. A lot of the influence actually for my thoughts about these things come from the Practical Dev in terms of like architecting the idea. Like, I try so hard with the Practical Dev to talk to a lot of people, more than I can often handle. And it sort of coincided with the events that led up to the creation of this product we're working on. And so it all sort of works together. I take influence from all that. But we are building basically a messaging app with some specific needs for businesses. And it's a node app with built on Express and React on the front end. And I'm pretty new to Node in any sort of serious capacity. So part of it's been a learning experience. But, you know, it's the... That's what I'm up to, a lot of JavaScript. And anytime I'm learning something new, it's always a good opportunity to see ridiculousness going on for material. But I also have to take it pretty seriously and ship some product.
Well, you know, if you're working in JavaScript more now, you should see much more ridiculousness. So that's good.
Oh, yes. I'm very familiar with the ridiculousness of the JavaScript community. And I like writing in JavaScript, but But it's kind of overwhelming. Not necessarily the writing component, more so the keeping up component with the landscape of the whole language and everything. And I find it like unsettling. It's not like my favorite environment to operate in, but it was the right choice for this application. So running with that.
So what is your favorite environment to operate in then?
I really enjoy Ruby on Rails. It's really simple. It lets me get from like idea to execution as quickly as possible. You know, like I have an idea, it goes through my mind, and it becomes an application or a feature like that as soon as I like within a very short turnaround time. And you can achieve that eventually in other environments, but in order to sort of do a lot of fun stuff, I really love Rails. It's very intuitive. The Ruby language is so interesting. I find that I just like know how to write the thing even if I've never done it, because it's extremely expressive and intuitive. But it's not the environment I would build a real-time messaging app with, especially on the front end. Obviously, you're gonna need some awesome JavaScript framework, and I think React really is that way. You know, it's frustrating for certain situations, but it's a really great paradigm and exactly what we needed to handle something with a pretty complicated stateful environment on the client.
Have you found at all that when you're looking at your technology choices or when you're programming day to day, have you found that any of your interactions through the Practical Developer Twitter account has influenced you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of have to back up what I say. Like, I sort of feel like I talk a lot. A lot of it's in jest. Like, I think most people should know not to take everything too seriously, but I sort of have to do good work if I want to back up some of the ideas I come up with and the things I say and stuff. And it certainly got like the personality of the practical dev definitely guides the technical choices of Dev2 of dev.to, which is a platform we're working on to sort of help write more interesting things about programming and express ourselves and let other people express themselves and really like do some interesting things in the community. And you know, the personality that is the practical dev persona really like influences that. And sort of I feel like as a developer, I sort of like treat that persona as sort of my guiding light for what technical choices to make, like within its realm, which is sort of a really abstract concept, but kind of the way things are going in my mind right now.
Right on. So you're saying I was just curious if like anyone has ever come to you and like you know kind of poked fun at like PHP or something like that and you know had someone come back and you get in a little debate with them and then that actually like colors how you choose things from that point on or
yeah, that's interesting, because I'm not really the kind of person to like truly debate something. I tend to listen and then ingest it. So yeah, maybe not in a debate, but certainly I pay attention to a lot of things. But in my own mind, even if it doesn't always come off this way, I'm pretty tempered in what I like think are good technologies and stuff. I think everything sort of is good for its own purpose. And I kind of make fun of PHP because I think it's funny, but I don't think it's actually like a bad environment, except its warts, which every environment and every language has its warts. But it's so popular for a reason. It's got a lot going for it, and it's got a strong history and stuff. And there's some other like environments I sort of can't stand, like tried writing Objective-C for a while, and that was just brutal for my mind. And I remember I recently, like, sort of, you know, if I make a joke and someone sort of affirms what I was thinking, like, they sort of get it, then that's like, it's like the positive affirmation rather than like the negative feedback. Like, if I say something and someone doesn't agree, it's usually for a pretty petty reason, and I find I'm more likely to be influenced by someone who, like, sort of says maybe a yeah, but sort of disagreement, or like, I see where you're coming from, but like, this is what I think. Because when someone just like straight up disagrees completely, it's not very helpful, because I like had the thought for a reason, and you're probably not going to influence me by like completely just having the exact opposite opinion, because I probably thought it through a little bit, but you know, my own thoughts are just sort of like out there, and I try to just be funny. It's not always reflective of exactly what I think, but like, if you take like the all-encompassing average, it sort of turns out that way. And some of it's based on the company that Jess and I are trying to build and stuff. And I don't let anything, I don't let any commercial ideas really like influence the rhetoric too much, but, it all sort of becomes this, like, it all melts around in my head until something shows up on Twitter, I guess.
I just, you know, when people disagree with me on Twitter, I just block them. I think that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Like,
kind of like that one time Seb blocked Jay because he ate the last piece of pie.
Yeah. This is the JavaScript community is silly enough that Sebastian McKenzie of Facebook and Babel fame once blocked my friend Jay Phelps, who works here at Netflix, because he ate the last piece of peach cobbler, I believe.
Yes. It was a sage, brown butter sage crust with a brown butter sage crust.
That was made by Sam Ciccone, also a JavaScript guy. So it's from Google.
But guys, why is the JavaScript community so freaking funny? Like, what is it with the JavaScript community? Because do you know how much YOLO and Tracy Train and like ridiculous stuff that comes out of my mouth these days?
I think you have to have a high tolerance for ridiculousness just to get started in JavaScript. Like, I don't know. I started in JavaScript in like 1998, and then I've been working with it since then, which really just means that I've been working with it for the last 2 years, because every year before that, I was spending all my time trying my best to never use JavaScript for anything.
Really? You're so good at the JavaScript.
It's because I was the only person foolish enough to decide to just dive into it maybe like 3 or 4 Yellow. Years ago.
JavaScript has insane, ridiculous beginnings. And, you know, it was just invented for really random thrown together reasons. And that's been its sort of like, that's been its protocol like ever since. It's just, it's been so convenient because of its history and because it was the chosen for the web, and everything sort of works backwards from there, and it gets adopted to everything else because the notion of learning one thing and using it a lot of other places really really resonates. I started getting more heavily into JavaScript when React Native was announced, because that really like made me think, like that really got me excited about using React in the first place, is because, as I mentioned before, I like kind of hated us writing Objective-C. And I also really, the thought of maintaining all sorts of different code bases is always a weird taste in my mouth when it seems sort of unnecessary, when you're just sort of duplicating the same functionality. So when JavaScript sort of started poking its head as such a like strong layer of abstraction over top of all these other things, even if it's sort of like a filled with warts and like kind of just a matter of convenience rather than like ultimate language design, it's hard to reject some of its strengths, even if those strengths are more about the just the way things evolve rather than the actual language. You gotta work with the environment you're given, and we were given an environment where JavaScript just runs everywhere.
Can we create a conference called Funny.js? And we'll have you, and we'll have Shy, and we'll have Peter Cooper, and other ridiculous people. Can we do that? That's good. We'll make it a furry conference. Can we make it a furry conference?
Everybody's got to wear furry costumes.
Yeah.
I am available for any furry or JavaScript related. In fact, I'll come and talk at any conference anyone roses. As long as you pay my way there, I guess.
You're a lot more serious than I thought you were on the internet. I was like, I was expecting a train wreck, Ben. I wanted a train wreck. I was looking forward to a train wreck.
So she hangs out with me and she tries to get me to be the train wreck. Usually.
You're a good train wreck.
I'm like a, I've got like a solid underlying API where I run trainwreck.js on the client.
That's probably a thing. I feel like I should Google that right now. Like,
that's how I describe myself. And as much as the whole thing comes off as a train wreck, it's pretty deliberate. And I don't know, I sort of like embrace the idea of randomness in a really sort of deep, I don't know, I spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff, as much as it just comes out as ridiculousness. I don't know. So
there is a train wreck JS.
Yeah. It's an actual thing.
I mean, I would love a train wreck JS conf.
There's an everything JS. JS is a really great file extension for ridiculous ideas.
Yeah, this is Trainwreck.js is apparently a chaining made easy, and it's got a picture of two like steam engines like running into each other.
Oh yeah, well I think you might have also, you caught me like at the end of my work day. I've been coding all day and making some jokes on the internet, but I think when I'm actually coding, I take a pretty serious approach. Some of my most ridiculous train wreck natured things definitely come about like later in the day when I'm just like drunk. Hanging out.
Basically, hey, we needed more shots. It's like the other night I went out and I was like, yeah, I'm going to start drinking whiskey on the rocks all the time. I'm going to tell you guys, 4 whiskey on the rock drinks is not the same as 4 cocktails. It was a train wreck. Yeah. I call it the tea train. I was trying to get our other friend, we were doing a training, Jonathan, training for the train wreck. And we call it the J train, and then we became the JT train, and then our car got stolen. Anyways.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that on Snapchat.
But our car got stolen.
Yeah. All you need to do to know what's going on with Tracy is just follow her on Snapchat. You'll know exactly where she is basically all the time.
Yeah, but then I apologize. Like when people follow me on Twitter, I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Feel free to unfollow me.
It's like virtualized stalking Tracy.
Snapchat?
Essential stalking Tracy. The O'Reilly book.
I'm pretty stalkable. Essential stalking Tracy. Oh no. I need alcohol. Where's the alcohol?
I don't know.
Ben, we need to hang out. We'll hang out soon. Are you going to React Rally?
Yes.
Oh my God, Ben. Other Ben.
I have no idea who you're talking to.
Who's Ben?
Practical Ben. Are you going?
I am not going to React Rally. That's coming up really soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next week.
Yeah. Nah.
YOLO.
Too busy with everything.
All right, Ben. We're gonna have you come play. I'm gonna lay out like my entire calendar for Modern Web, and then we're gonna get you out here, and we're gonna dress up you up like Pikachu.
Oh, sweet. I have no experience dressing up like Pokemon, and I would love to start.
Do you think we could get one of those giant like inflatable balls you can run inside and then paint it up like a Pokeball?
Can we? Oh my God, yes. Or like one of those clear balls and it's a Pokeball and there's a Pokemon trapped inside it. Yes. 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 See, I don't know. I don't know what it is about JavaScript. Or I don't know if it's just you, Ben, or like what. But my entire life has just become a train wreck.
And you blame JavaScript?
Oh, yes.
All right. Interesting.
That's kind of true, right, Ben?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
hot mess.
You probably just didn't put a try catch statement around something at one point, and it's been downhill from there.
Why are you so funny?
I don't know.
Yeah. So funny. I sort of agree with that notion. JavaScript has a has an interesting effect on my sanity, I think, and I avoid it when I can. I use it when it's to my benefit, but I've deliberately really done a lot to make JavaScript on the client less of the logic on some of my stuff, and it's brought me a lot of happiness.
I like JavaScript. I've only done JavaScript. I basically did HTML, CSS for a week, JavaScript for a week, and then got on Ember. and then have been YOLOing my entire life away.
Yeah, it's she likes JavaScript so much that now she actually type coerces herself into YOLO every day. That's if you compare her to anything, and she just results in YOLO.
YOLO. I YOLO a lot of.
I want to try Ember actually. I think that would really. I think I'd like it. It's a lot more opinionated, right? It's like really is.
It's very Railsy. Yeah, it's got like you, especially if you use Ember CLI, and then it has opinions about where you should put all your files and how you should do things. And the community has very uniform opinions about how you should do things. So, yeah, it's very Railsy.
I appreciate that. My opinions on React are all over the place, and I can never decide whether I like. Whether I actually disagree with the concept I see, or I'm too dumb to understand the concept, and that's like my whole like, that's a constant battle. It's like whether should I like do something that I think is right, or should I do the thing that someone else is saying, or should I learn to do the thing and make that my opinion? Because it seems like it sort of is super opinionated, but in a very like, you can do whatever you want, but like everything you try is an anti-pattern.
So like just so we're clear on what you're doing when you're doing any JavaScript development, especially in the front end, what you're actually doing is you're writing a large application in a dynamically typed scripting language that executes on thousands of different runtimes, right? So yeah. you're basically already smoking at the gas station at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So worrying about like what you should do or where you should put things, I mean, You're the guy. You're smoking while pumping gas already. I think that your worries should be gone at that point. Like don't worry.
Is this how I should feel every time I code? Be like, holy shit, the world is about to YOLO.
In fact, that's a good O'Reilly book cover. It'd be expert JavaScript development, and just have like a black and white picture of a dude pumping gas while he's smoking a cigarette.
I think you should come up with a Twitter handle, the Impractical Dev, Ben, and then you guys can like battle it out on the internet and talk to the PHP CEO.
I'm writing a web app in assembly.
Well,
what?
When you talk about using these like massive or these frameworks or libraries or like the popular big JavaScript situations we've got going on, They're way better than what came before them in terms of trying to string a bunch of jQuery together and stuff like that, and they're potentially not as good as what will come after them. But they are. It's kind of crazy sometimes when you try to do something like simple that takes like a million build steps and is kind of all over the place. And I really sought a lot of refuge in being super super deliberate with the way I architect some of my stuff on the server, and leveraging JavaScript for some really interesting like page load stuff, and in order to basically make it more practical to do more on the server, and I know that's not a very funny topic, but it's a very important topic to me, and that's where so much of my head is at in JavaScript land these days. I've got two really like highly different apps. One where I really need a lot of client-side logic no matter what, but it's really not that big a deal if it's all sort of a smoking at the gas station sort of situation, as long as things basically run because of the nature of the app. And then in the other case, I care about every single kilobyte of JavaScript going into each view and just make everything super, super slow and deliberate and make these decisions really carefully. And that's the one that's like keeping me sane right now. So it's, I don't know. I feel like everyone who's writing a lot of JavaScript should find a way to like have a side project that's like the exact opposite of that situation. Cause it really keeps me, going, I think.
It keeps your brain going. Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us on the Modern Web Podcast. I really hope to do more fun, exciting things with you in the future and play around and have more YOLO time and drink whiskey together.
Absolutely. Fly me in whenever you want. I'd go to React Rally if someone just like called me up and gave me a plane ticket.
We're going to have to do that. I'm going to have to keep that in the back of my mind and like do some sort of like ridiculous stuff with you, but... First things first, React Rally and Power Ranger suits with Ryan Florence and Michael Jackson, who never agreed to that. Also never agreed to semicolon tattoos, but I don't know. I don't know. Ben, semicolon tattoos are still happening. Ben. You're getting one, right?
That's a thing.
Right here. Right on your hand.
Right on my hand?
Like on your wrist, right here, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking like on the palm of my hand.
Yeah, do it. Oh, yeah.
People will be like, what's that circle with the squiggly tail on
it? I feel like this is going to happen because I had a dream about it. And when I have dreams about things, it happens.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, thanks guys for listening to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast. And you can follow Ben, Practical Ben, at The Practical Dev, and Impractical Ben at Ben Lesh. And you could follow me, but I don't know.
It's yeah. Traumatizing. All you have to do to follow her is just get on like the caboose.
Get on the Tracy train. Get on the Tracy train wreck. Oh shit. It's pretty bad. All right. Talk to y'all soon.
Bye everybody.
Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter @modernweb_. See you around the internet.